Yeah, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for dialing in today to participate in the TNA Anniversary Week call with our special guest, TNA World Champion Kurt Angle, and the undefeated Ethan Carter III, who will face one another for the TNA World title on a special edition of Impact Wrestling, Bell to Bell, next Wednesday, July the 1st at 9, 8 Central on Destination America. But before we get ahead of ourselves, tomorrow night on a live episode of Impact Wrestling, EC3 will determine an opponent for Kurt ahead of their big match next week. And of course, TNA's annual Summer Celebration Slammiversary will be live on pay-per-view and available through the Flips app this Sunday, June the 28th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We have a lot of media on the line today, and you will be given the opportunity to ask one question to begin. Again, that's only one question to begin, and then you can always dial back into the queue to ask a second question. Sun is our operator today, and if you will, please, Sun, go ahead and open the lines for questions for EC3 and Kurt.
And your first question comes from the line of Scott Fishman with Miami Herald.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Scott.
So, Slammiversary is always known as, an anniversary looking back. If you guys could choose just, one moment when you look back at your TNA history that you guys look back on and will always remember, what would that be? And then also, just what are some things that you expect in the next couple of months for TNA that you guys are excited about and, moving forward?
Oh, God. This is Kurt Angle speaking. I've always enjoyed Slammiversary. I feel that it was one of our biggest pay-per-views of the year, and we advertise it that way, and we set up the matches to be that way. I can't remember one in particular that I truly remember, but I had some incredible matches at this pay-per-view, and hopefully I'll be able to have the same thing this Sunday at Slammiversary again.
Yeah, and if, this is EC3, and if I can just ask everyone for a little bit of a moment of silence for the member of my barbershop quintet, that was Angle slammed by Mr. Angle and his back evaporated into dust. I would like that now. Thank you very much. Slammiversary, it's a mecca of our business. It's a standard we all adhere to. And, my personal favorite Slammiversary moment would probably be my very first Slammiversary, where I won a Texas Deathmatch against Bully Ray, just handing him a solid defeat after months and months of antagonizing my friends and my family. And, justice was served that night. And as far as this Slammiversary, I'm very much looking forward to continuing to be undefeated at Slammiversary and in general. And that's it.
And your next question comes from the line of Jonathan Williams with Wrestling.
WrestlingWithPopCulture.com. Good to talk to you guys. How are you both doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Tremendous.
Glad to hear that. So, obviously, to varying degrees and to under very different circumstances, you both had as much, or in Ethan's case, more success in TNA than you had in WWE. I'm curious what each of you attributes that to, having worked for both companies.
This is Kurt Angle going first. I had a tremendous career in WWE, and I've said this before and I'll say it again. I've had even a better career in TNA, and I really believe that it has a lot to do with a lot of the talent that I was able to wrestle. The AJ Styles, Samoa Joe's, Sting, Jeff Jarrett, Bobby Roode, Bobby Lashley. There were so many great athletes that I probably would not have wrestled if I would have stayed in WWE. So it felt good. I think my wrestling started to my experience by my seventh year was when I started in TNA, and I think that's when the light bulb went off in my head, and I just had better matches. I had a better career, and that's hard for me to say because I had a pretty damn good career in WWE, and I just felt like I messed with the talent a lot better at TNA, and I thought that they had tremendous talent since I've been there, and it, they continue to groom talent, even to the likes of EC3 that, you know, I consider one of the best wrestlers today. And he's undefeated. He showed that he can you know, hang with the big boys. And, you know, I feel that someday he will be a champion. I just don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
This is EC3, and I happen to wholeheartedly agree with just about every word that came out of Mr. Angle's mouth, except for the fact that he mentioned I won't be a champion very soon. I digress. We will see a bell to bell on July 1st. But if you watched last week on Impact, the litany of names I mentioned that Kurt Angle has defeated, stemming from both WWE and Impact, I mean, he said I'm one of the best wrestlers going today. Well, he is the best wrestler ever, and his resume speaks for that. And whether it was in WWE or TNA, like he said, he's improved with time. And as far as for myself, I think the big difference is it's a totally different scenario, a totally different ballgame, but one place didn't give me an opportunity as much as another place let me run with the ball, and you're seeing the results of that now.
Cool. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ryan Ryder with Main Event Radio.
Hey, Ethan. This match has been building now for nearly 2 years. How much are you guys looking forward to finally facing each other one-on-one on July 1st?
This is Kurt Angle.
Go ahead, Kurt.
Edit. Oh, sorry. I think it's been built tremendously well. I never expected to, you know, when I came back from my knee surgery to win the title so suddenly. Watching EC3 go through the talent and knocking every person down and defeating them, I knew that eventually he was going to be the guy to beat for me to beat. I love the way it's been built up. We did have a match before. I did have a knee injury at the time. And EC3 did the right thing and took advantage of it. And that's the reason I had the knee surgery. But now I'm 100% healthy. I love the build-up. I think that if it would have occurred any sooner, I don't think it would have been the right time. And any later, I don't think it would have been the right time. So this is the right time. And I believe that Ethan and I can have match of the year. We're going to put on a great performance. And, you know, we're going to see who the best man is. It's July 1st at Bell to Bell.
Well, once again, I can't help but agree with Kurt Angle. I mean, the man spoken like a true poet with what he said. The build-up has been phenomenal, and I think it's a rare occurrence in this industry to have the ability to let something naturally build and progress over enough time where people really are invested in it. I mean, a lot of times people are throwing things to the wind quickly, just, you know, whether it's to pop a number or a buy rate or something of that nature, where gone are the days, it seems, where storylines progress to an apex that, you know, fits it. And I'm pretty fortunate and excited to be in this moment with Kurt as World Heavyweight Champion. He didn't mention we wrestled prior, and I did take out his knee, and I will tell you what, you know, I can eat a little bit of a humble pie here. Kurt Angle kicked my ass that entire match, and I am lucky to have escaped the victory if it wasn't for circumstances like his knee tearing in the middle of the match. So, hey, that was a year ago, though. I'm a year better, a year stronger, a year wiser, a year more handsome, and I am ready for this moment, and it has built, and it will culminate July 1st at Bell to Bell.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ethan Nash with Wrestling Hustler Australia.
I think we lost him, so we can go ahead and take the next question. So,
I like his name. It was Ethan.
Your next question comes from the line of Sean Rossap with Wrestling Incorporated.
Hey, guys. We've heard rumors that Destination America, like, fully supports Kurt Angle as champion. And I want to ask Kurt, how does that make you feel? And EC3, you kind of started this all-American political campaign. Is that kind of a way to maybe one-up Kurt Angle and get something like Destination America behind you as champion?
All right, this is Kurt. I'll go first. Yeah, Destination America, you know, has done a tremendous job in supporting me as the World Heavyweight Champion. I'm sure it has to do a lot to do with the red, white, and blue. You know, being Olympic gold medalist and a former 12-time World Heavyweight Champion. So I knew that they wanted me to become champion. I knew that they wanted me to carry the company and, you know, from the beginning. When we started with Destination America. And that made me feel really good. It's a proud moment to have a network that wants to build up around you. You know, going against EC3, he started his campaign, and he did a tremendous job with his campaign. And, you know, but it's deserving. He's done a tremendous job. And I remember last year talking to the head of creative and saying, listen, we're going to have to put the title on this kid sometime soon. And, you know, the time is coming. Whether it happens July 1st, it will eventually happen. EC3 will be a world champion because he is that good. And I think that Destination America will fully support EC3 when the day comes when he does become champion. But what I'm hoping is he doesn't become champion while I'm the World Heavyweight Champion. I'd like to beat EC3 and put him under my notch in my belt that he's one of the guys that I've beaten. He's a great competitor, and I'm looking forward to the match, and I know that someday he will win the World Heavyweight title. It's just a matter of time. As long as he stays healthy, I think he has a lot of potential to be one of the best wrestlers today and be a future legend.
Thank you for the question, Sean. And, you know, the way I look at it, first off, I hope you got that food basket I sent you down in Cincy. Hope so. That's good. But, you're welcome, my man. The way I look at it is that if I was in a television company and I was fantasy booking a wrestling show and I was about America, my number one draft pick would be the only Olympic gold medalist in wrestling history, Kurt Angle. So I fully understand Destination America giving Kurt that burden to carry the company, to be a leadoff man, the guy to get us on base, get us started, hit a home run even, really make us noticed, not only to America, but to the world, but via America. So you have Kurt Angle, the ultimate American, world champion. Yes, he's been provided ample opportunities to be champion, but the matches that played out in the ring, that played out in the ring. And as far as my political campaign, sometimes to get to the ring, you need to maneuver a little bit. So let's not be remiss and think that politics do not exist in wrestling, because wrestling is politics. Every top level guy has played politics at one point in their career. And despite the fact I remained undefeated, unpinned, unsubmitted, I was never granted a title shot. So I took a look at what the greats have done, greats I've mentioned before, greats like Kurt, and I look at the scene, it's political. So the campaign was a political move, yes, to put my name out there as far as somebody who could, in fact, be the one to carry the company into the future as well, and maybe even end Kurt Angle's title reign.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And your next question comes from the line of Ethan Nash, WrestleHustle Australia.
Can you hear me this time, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yes, fantastic stuff. Ethan, you've been very outspoken in the past about your time in WWE developmental and the comparisons you've made even earlier in the phone call today to TNA and the environments between the two. And, Kurt, there's been a lot of rumors, speculations about whether you'll ever return to WWE, what the situation is. So I'll throw somewhat of a similar question to you both. First, I'll throw it over to Ethan because, no offense, Curtis's name does take the priority in the phone call. Do you have any desire in your subconscious to one day wrestle in the WWE, or has that ship sailed in your mind?
Well, Ethan, first off, I'm glad you're on the call. I know, you know, a dingo didn't eat you or anything. It's good to hear your voice and your name. As far as subconsciously looking towards other places to work in the future, it's not at all even in the thought of my mind. My mind is solely focused on TNA. My mind is solely focused on Impact. My body, my soul, my every being I have is to be in this company and put every effort forth I have inside of me to make it good, make what I do great, stand out, entertain people, and deliver a wonderful product. As far as future, looking at someday opening another door, it is not even in my foresight, hindsight, any sight. My focus is on TNA. My focus is on being the World Heavyweight Champion. My focus is on, you know, being the guy in this company.
Brilliant, brilliant stuff. I'll throw it over to you there, Kurt. Not just on WWE, but your future in general. I'm interested to hear what your plans are after you hang up the boots. Do you plan to go to WWE? Do you plan to stick behind the scenes or go on your personal endeavors? I'm interested to get your thoughts on what is next for Kurt Angle after wrestling.
You know, I think I agree with EC3. I haven't really given it much thought because I don't really intend on hanging up the boots anytime soon. I've had some injuries and, you know, I had to get through them and, you know, I'm not moving the same I used to, but, I'm moving pretty damn good, for my age and for what I've been through. And, right now I just want to do what I can to help this company. They've been so loyal to me the last 8-9 years and, they've done everything they could to take care of me. You know, there's a certain amount of loyalty that you have to give back. And, I never thought about anything what I want to do afterward yet besides, you know, I started taking acting classes and I signed with APA agency to do movies. Beyond that, I really haven't thought about anything else other than wrestling and wrestling in TNA. Nothing has come up. I haven't given it much thought. I just want to focus on my career right now and do the best I can and continue to be World Heavyweight Champion for TNA. That's my first priority, and that's what I'm thinking about right now. Will I hang up the boots soon? Probably. I wouldn't say in the next 2 years, but it's going to eventually happen. And I don't want to think about it right now. I just want to do what I love doing, and that's entertaining fans and being the best in the world.
Brilliant stuff, mate. It was great to speak with both of you. I wish you both the best for your upcoming championship match. Thank you.
Thank you, Ethan.
Wait, so, Kurt, you're going to be around for 2 more years trying to kick my ass? Is that what you're trying to say?
At least.
Come on, man. All right.
Your next question comes from the line of Josh Modavri with American Magazine.
He's right.
Good day, sir.
Hello.
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 First of all, Slammiversary this Sunday. It's going to be the first time a TNA pay-per-view is going to be shown live in the UK. You, of course, had Bound for Glory over in Japan last year. Do you think we'll ever see a TNA pay-per-view filmed in the UK live?
Yes, I do. This is Kurt Angle. Yes, I do. The UK is a very special place for TNA. We've done so much there. I know as far as the company is, you know, from a perspective of the company and the talent, we would love to go over there a lot more than we do. It's a great place to do our TVs, and it would be even a better place to showcase one of our pay-per-views. So I see it as not a possibility. I see it as a definite. It's going to happen. I just don't know when. But the UK deserves it, and we're going to make it happen.
Yeah, I'm just confused. You're from American Magazine, but you're from the UK. I don't understand these things. But I've also been training really hard, so my mind's not really focused on brain activity. But as far as bringing a pay-per-view over to the UK, I think that would be something we'd be remiss not to do. That's an opportunity we should do. They're some of our best fans. I'd love to go over there, and I'd love to, on pay-per-view, I don't know, beat the bloody hell out of Rockstar Spud and shave his head again, just, you know, on pay-per-view for the fans. So I think, yes, I agree with Kurt. Let's go over there, and I'm pretty sure it will happen.
And just another question for Kurt. You had many great matches with Samoa Joe. Your debut, of course, when you came in and headbutted Samoa Joe. He's recently made his debut at NXT. What have you made of Samoa Joe with the WWE and on NXT?
I believe the sky's the limit for Samoa Joe. I don't think he's going to stop in NXT. I really believe that he's going to end up on the main roster. He has been a talent that, since the day I met him, I knew that he could shine more than any other wrestler I know. He's a tremendous in-ring performer. He can kind of promo just as good, if not better, than anybody, except for maybe EC3. But I could tell you that Samoa Joe really, really deserves this. If he didn't want to continue his career in TNA, I'm happy that he's doing it in WWE, and I really believe the sky's the limit with him. I think he's going to do tremendous things.
Definitely. And yeah, the pair of you, you at Slammiversary, it's always the time when the next TNA Hall of Famer is announced. Who would you both like to see entered into the TNA Hall of Fame next?
This is Kurt Angle. You know, that's tough. There are so many TNA originals that really deserve it. You know, I know that in the past we've had guys that have been inducted that have had success in other companies before they came to TNA. For instance, Sting, myself, Team 3D. It'd be really nice to see a TNA original, somebody that was in TNA, that stayed in TNA for, you know, a good 10, 12 years. I really wouldn't doubt if they took into consideration that it was someone like an AJ Styles or a Samoa Joe. Guys like that have started from the beginning. There are guys that are still going strong that I know they would love to induct, but they're just not ready. They're not even close to being retired. So it's kind of hard to pick some of these talents. So it's really tough to say. But right now, what I'd really like to see is a guy that was in the company from the get-go that would be inducted, and I'm hoping that happens.
Yeah, just going off of what Kurt said, he mentioned names like, you know, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles, and I think we'll see them there in the future, but maybe not this year. I think this year, a TNA original should be rewarded, and you know, I'm looking at it like a lineage, a roster, a lineup of guys, and I see quite a few guys I actually wouldn't mind choosing to be Kurt Angle's opponent tomorrow night on Live Impact with Full Metal Mayhem when I get to choose his opponent. But I'm looking, I'm scouting, and I sincerely mean this, but I think a guy like Abyss deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And Abyss also seems like the kind of guy who might be a good opponent against Kurt Angle. I'm going to write that down because it's a good idea. Good idea, Ethan. So, yes, Abyss and maybe Abyss.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
As a reminder, we do have 30 minutes remaining for the call, and you are permitted to ask one question. Your next question comes from the line of Tim Porosky from GF Talk from Germany.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, bro.
Okay. Thanks a lot to have me. My question is a Germany question. Did both of you ever wrestle in Germany, and what are your thoughts on Germany?
Oh, this is Kurt Angle. I have yet to wrestle in Germany. I think I might have once in WWE, but we were traveling so much in Europe, I don't know if we stopped in Germany or wrestled in Germany for one night. I haven't had much experience in Germany. My only memory of ever competing against anybody from Germany was an Olympic wrestler named Erevat Fabib. He was a Russian defect that went to Germany, a former world champion, and I wrestled him in the 1995 World Championships and beat him in the finals. What a tremendous athlete. And Germany's always been a great country for amateur wrestling. A lot of Olympians won medals from Germany, and but my experience has been more from amateur wrestling than pro.
Yeah, I mean, I've vacationed in Germany, you know, I've been, of course, all around the world, but, you know, I've had some time there. As far as competing in Germany, I have not yet. Would love to. Wouldn't mind going over there, you know, having a match, winning it, you know, drinking some, getting some beers, some sausages, you know, hamburgers, whatever, you know, hanging out, you know, enjoying the culture, so to speak. But I have not been to Germany. Would love to go. I did not compete against anyone in the 1995 World Championships in wrestling, nor ever. So my Germany slate's clean.
The German guy's really looking forward for your match. I'm really due.
Thank you
for DMAX.
Again, that is star one for an audio question. Your next question comes from the line of David Dunn with NVPWI.
Hey there, guys. It used to be that you'd have sort of 4 weeks of television leading up to a pay-per-view. But with you guys having the world title match coming up July 1st, Slammiversary this weekend, that's not necessarily the case anymore. So talk to me a little bit about your opinion on the importance of pay-per-view against television in 2015.
Well, with the way everything's structured with our company, it's hard to connect our pay-per-views with our TVs because we are taping TVs and doing the pay-per-views. They're not really cohesive, but what we are trying to do is have the best possible matches we can at the pay-per-views. Whether they're storyline related or not, we're trying to put in the best lineup to give the best possible match scenarios we can. So for the fans that do order the pay-per-view, they're going to get five-star matches. So right now, I know we're not able to cohesively make the TVs and pay-per-views make sense. But what we are trying to do and what we are accomplishing is having the best possible matches we can for the fans at Slammiversary and the other pay-per-views.
Yeah, definitely. Man, Curtis Smart. He is good and smart. My man. Like, the way he said it is entirely true. Like, this match has a build to a pay-per-view feel, and I know that some fans are a little upset that it isn't taking place on the pay-per-view, but we can only act in the circumstances we have, and with filming TV in advance, I think it would be a disrespect to the fans to act like that didn't happen and then have the pay-per-view. So I think you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I know that Slammiversary, that everybody in that locker room, regardless if it's storyline conducive or it's just to have a great match, is going to bust their ass and give you every cent worth of what you pay for it. But we're also in a different time in the business where I think we're kind of looking at TV versus pay-per-view, and the game has changed quite a bit, especially with a network coming on. The game has changed, and we have to adapt and find a way to make it all work out. And what will work out for everybody's favor is that Slammiversary is going to be off the charts, and that July 1st, Bell to Bell, Kurt Angle versus EC3 is also going to be off the charts and free on television. So there you go. You're welcome, world.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Again, that is star one for an audio question. Your next question comes from the line of Lee Med with the Live Radio.
Thanks for taking the call. Kurt, you've said repeatedly throughout the course of the conference call that each and every time this match upcoming at Bell to Bell could be a Matt classic. I have to ask the question, how much pressure do you put yourself under to deliver those Angle classics that the fans expect each and every time you step into the ring? And then EC3, at the same time, how much pressure do you feel you're going to be under a week on Wednesday or a week on Sunday here in the UK at Bell to Bell, when you go in to win your first TNA World Heavyweight title?
This is Kurt Angle. I'll speak first. I do put quite a bit of pressure on myself, but I love it. I love the pressure. I love going out there and having the best match of the night to be on the show. You know, it's challenging, especially at my age now, 46. I'm still able to do it, and I feel very blessed. If the match isn't good against EC3, then I can blame it on him.
Yep. But, 100%.
But, you know what, I really am looking forward to it. This is something I said this earlier. I talked to the head of creative last year, and I told him that EC3 is a special talent, and there's going to come a day where we're going to need to let him carry us on his back. He's going to be the World Heavyweight Champion, and that day will come, and I'm really looking forward to having a match with EC3. I watched him. I've studied him since the day he started. He has tremendous talent, and I really believe that we could have match of the year, and that's hard for me to say. The matches I've had this year with Bobby Lashley and Austin Aries and Eric Young, Bobby Roode not too long ago, but I really believe that EC3 and Kurt Angle is going to be match of the year, and I'm looking forward to it. And am I putting pressure on myself? Yeah. Am I putting pressure on EC3? Yes, I am, but I really believe it's going to happen. We will have match of the year, and it's going to happen July 1st.
Yeah, the pressure is there because, I mean, I am going to be sharing the ring with a guy who has had great matches with everyone. So if our match isn't good, then yes, he can blame it on me. But it will be awesome, I assure you. It will be a classic because one interesting thing about myself and TNA thus far, being here for 2 years, run kind of through the roster, unpinned, unsubmitted, is I've yet to really even show you what I can do. The character's been genuine. The character's been able to get by on things that are more than just in ring, so much so that what I actually do in the ring is kind of shrouding a little bit of mystery, and that's what makes this so exciting because I know what I can do. I know what Kurt can do. I've had this match with Kurt Angle in my head for, 13 years now, probably since I first saw him in WWE. I've had this match in my head, and I've been, you know, 1,000 different times, 1,000 different ways, 1,000 different outcomes. And yes, there's pressure, as there damn well should be, because if you can't handle the pressure, well, get the hell out of the kitchen. I don't think that's a saying, but it might as well be. The pressure is good. I'm ready for the pressure. I love the pressure. I am so thrilled and excited to eat this pressure, chew it up, digest it, regurgitate it, spit it out, leave it all out there, and, you know, show you exactly who I am. Yeah, who I am. Yeah, hell yeah. Good one, Ethan.
Guys, thank you. Great question, great answer. I look forward to seeing the match take place a week on Sunday over here on Challenge TV. Cheers, guys.
Thank you. Cheers.
Again, that is star 1 for an audio question. Your next question comes from the line of Neil Rogers with Coolin Sports.
Come on, man. I'm fired up. Let's keep them coming.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure what happened there. Hi, my name's Neil Rogers from Calling Spots. I've got two questions, one for each of you. Kurt, how close have you ever been to wrestling Ken Shamrock? Has it ever been discussed, or have you ever discussed this or looked at contract or anything? And EC3, I'm curious. I know you were involved in the British boot camp last year, and you faced against Grado. I was wondering what your thoughts on Grado and the rest of the participants were.
All right, I'll start first. This is Kurt Angle. I always wanted to wrestle Ken Shamrock, and obviously that's where I got my submission hold from, was Ken. Unfortunately, when I started in WWE, he just left. And there was a time when I thought he was coming back, and it just never happened. Would I love to wrestle Ken? Yeah, he's a tremendous pro wrestler. What he's done and what he's attributed to UFC, MMA, and pro wrestling, he's a very talented individual, incredible athlete. He gets it. He knows pro wrestling. He knows MMA. He actually was an Olympic wrestler. He didn't make the Olympic team, but he tried out. He is a man of many talents. And watching Ken wrestle, he was a lot of my inspiration when I started. He had some tremendous matches with Undertaker and The Rock and Triple H. Watching him perform and knowing I came from the same background as he did, he gave me a lot of hope. And I would love to be able to have a professional wrestling match with Ken Shamrock if he ever considered it. I just don't know if he's interested anymore.
Thank you.
This is EC3, and personally, I would go ahead and fork over a few dollars to see Kurt Angle versus Ken Shamrock, because I would love to watch those two maniacs try to break each other's ankle. That just really sits well with me. That's something I do want to see, and I think we should. In fact, maybe I should give Ken a call for Wednesday tomorrow as perhaps a mystery opponent. I don't know. Who's to say? But as far as British Boot Camp, you know, I would have liked to have a little more time on it, actually. I just kind of popped in here or there. And, you know, it's a very interesting show, and I know it's something that TNA is really proud of, and they should be, because it's a really great show. And I know Jeremy Borash works his hindquarters off to make that good, and it is good. Grado is an interesting fellow, let me tell you that. The guy has something. What it is, I don't know, but it's something that's valuable. It's something you can't teach. It's that charisma, that it factor, that fanny pack, whatever it is. He has a lot of tools, and I like what he does. It's just, I think translating it to America is going to be interesting to make sure it's not too much of what he does. But you know what? A guy like that can only go all out, because if you go half out with what he does, then it won't work. So maybe I'm wrong. Yes, go all out with it. A couple other guys, like we have Andrews here, who won British Boot Camp, he has a vast array of talents besides wrestling, and I'd like to see us kind of try to exploit that. And I don't know if that's on us as a company or if that's on him as a talent to kind of put that out there and show the other things he can do, whether it's, you know, I know he's a musician too, and I think that's very interesting, because there's not a lot of legitimate musicians in wrestling who are good, and I've never heard anyone play their own entrance music to the ring, and that's just something that pops in my head right now thinking about it. So I don't know if he needs to do that, or, you know, take an initiative with what he has, because what I've learned the hard way and now what I've learned to pay off is that you go all out, you take your initiative, and you do you the best you can, and no one can take that away from you. So, yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'm British people. Yeah, you're welcome, mate. Cheers.
Again, that is *1* for an audio question. Your next question comes from the line of Neil Docking with Daily Mirror.
Hi, I've got a question for Kurt first. At Destination X, you faced Rockstar Spud and Austin Aries in the same night, two very different competitors. I'm just wondering, what did you think of the two matches, and what sort of bout can we expect between you and EC3?
I really look forward to wrestling Rockstar Spud. He's a special talent, and, you know, he's got a lot of heart. He's one of those kids that has made it in the industry when he probably shouldn't have. And not only made it here, but he's really succeeded. The chemistry I had with him was tremendous. He's not a crazy high flyer. He is a legitimate ground wrestler, heavyweight type of wrestler, and he's 5'4", 150 pounds. It makes him special. He's a lot of fun to work with. I wish I would have had double the amount of time. But, you know, on TV, you only get a certain amount of time. But we made it work. It was a great match. I enjoyed it. One of my favorites this year. Very entertaining. But the match with Austin Aries, obviously, we had a lot more time. A lot more build-up, a lot more storyline. You know, a lot more psychology went into that match. And that was one of my favorite matches thus far this year. But I'm looking forward to my match with EC3. I think that regardless of who wins, I think we're going to both be winners. We're going to walk out winners because I really believe this match is going to be one of the best matches of the year. And there's, you know, one thing about EC3, we have not seen that knockdown drag out 25-minute match that I know he's capable of. And we're going to be able to see that on July 1st. We're going to see that EC3 does have the ability to put on those type of matches, those five-star matches. And when that happens, whether I win or whether I lose or whether he wins or loses, people are going to look at him in a different light. There are a lot of fans that believe he can wrestle. There are a lot of fans that believe he can't wrestle. I believe with the first thing. I believe he can wrestle and he's going to prove it. But I'm really looking forward to it. I really believe this match has been built up the right way. And I'm looking forward to the match, and I think that we're going to get our highest rating from this match because of the few individuals that are going to be in it.
Yeah. Oh, great. And what about you, Ethan? You know, this obviously will be your first shot at, you know, a world title in TNA, just 2 years into your time with the company. Did you see yourself, you know, reaching this level so quickly? And what are you thinking this match is going to be like?
Well, going off with Mr. the incumbent champion, Kurt Angle, said, you know, that 25-minute, you know, five-star Mac classic. I prefer, you know, to beat him in 5 minutes, but that might not be the case this time. But him having that faith in me to be able to have that match is something that means a lot to me. And the thing is, I had that exact same faith in myself. And like I said earlier, it's kind of been genuine how I haven't had it yet, and it's almost worked perfectly into what I've done since I've been here. And EC3 kind of started as a character who maybe couldn't wrestle. He wasn't, yeah, I'm the entitled nephew of the owner. But I have been tested, battle-tested, bound by blood. You know, I've been through quite a bit in these 2 years to get to this moment where now it is time for me to, you know, maybe put the mic down, maybe, you know, use a little less outside interference, maybe kind of not cheat my way out of it and show the world exactly who I am and what I'm capable of. And, hell, no better opponent than Kurt Angle, no bigger stakes in the World Heavyweight Championship, and no better time than July 1st at Bell to Bell on Destination America.
Oh, great. Thanks for your time, both of you.
Thanks, man.
As a reminder, we do have approximately 10 minutes remaining on the call. And again, that is star one for a question. Your next question comes from the line of Tom Ancy with Curtain Jerk.
Hey, guys. Let's start with Ethan. EC3, your streak is it's going on for either the longest in TNA or it's definitely one of the longest in TNA history. It started with North Furnham and Dewey Barnes. Does it end with Kurt Angle, or does it keep going into the sunset?
Wow, that is an epic question from Curtain Jerk Magazine. It began with Norv Furman, and you know, like the way I look in life, you know, it's time and life. It's a circle, and it's all bound together. It's all enclosed in one circle. Yes, I know what I'm saying. Bear with me. So yes. Does it end with Kurt Angle? I can't see it ending with Kurt Angle because, honestly, as I look at my vision board I have hanging in my office, as I look at my life, as I talk to my Himalayan therapist who tell me things and, you know, envision the future, I don't see it ending ever. I do not ever see me losing. It's interesting you bring Norv Furman up. I've actually contacted him recently, and in the chance I do become World Heavyweight Champion, the very huge, ginormous chance, because I'm EC3 and I rule, I'm going to invite Norv Furman to come to the party. You know why? Because I'm a giver, and he's cool. And, you know, it started with him, and I'd like to see him there again. But, yeah, I think that makes sense.
And, Kurt, obviously you'll be fighting the streak. Are you going to end the streak? And on a side note, how could you take out EC3's barbershop quintet? It was the best thing ever.
Well, I didn't plan on taking anybody out in that quartet, but they got a little bit on my nerves, and I did what I had to do. The thing is, EC3 is going to lose somewhere along the line, whether it's July 1st or a half a year from now, or he's world heavyweight champion for the next year or two, he's going to lose. Everybody loses. There comes a time when you have to accept defeat. Unless he wants to retire the day after he wins the world heavyweight title, if he does beat me, then he will remain undefeated. But if he doesn't step into retirement, he's going to lose. And the one thing I want him to realize is that if he does lose to me, there's no shame in that. Now, if he loses the Rockstar spot 6 months from now for the world heavyweight title, I think he's going to have a hard time living with that. So if you're going to lose to anybody, it's not a bad thing to lose to Kurt Angle.
So let's not give the UK people any ideas about me losing to Rockstar Spud anytime soon.
Hey, Spud's a fighter. Anyway, thanks, guys. And EC3, we'll get you a children's choir or something to replace the barbershop quintet. Thank you very much.
Yeah, give me a baker's dozens of kids, and that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Your next question comes from the line of Roy Bailey with Team Wrestling.
Hi guys, this is Rory from Team Van Wrestling Media. How's it going?
Very good.
Hey, buddy. Cool. This is a bit of a question for you both, but we spoke to Ethan a few weeks back prior to him facing Rockstar Spud, and Ethan, you said to us that your goal is obviously beat Rockstar Spud, shave his head, go on to win the World Championship, and it looks like you're on the path to making that happen. How do you prepare for a match with Kurt Angle, who's one of the greats? And Kurt, how do you prepare for Ethan, who's a top up and comer?
Well, this is Kurt Angle. I'll go first. The thing is, at this point in my career, I consider myself an underdog every time I go in and wrestle. When you're at the latter part of your career and you lose a little bit of a half of a step from where you were before. You learn to be humble. You learn to realize that you're fighting from underneath. I like that. I like being an underdog. I've always been an underdog my whole life. And knowing that EC3 is on top of his game and that he is undefeated, and that most people that would pick who's going to win this match, most people would pick EC3. Because he is in the prime of his career. He has been primed for this match. He's been waiting for this match, and this is his night. This is his night. Whether he wins or loses, this is his night. This is his first World Heavyweight title shot. But I like being an underdog and preparing for him. What I can do is give everything I have. And as long as I give everything I have, I know I can win. Will I win? I can't guarantee it. But I'm confident I will, and I know against EC3 it's going to be an incredible match, and I'm looking forward to being the underdog even though I'm the champion, and I'm looking forward to defeating EC3 and giving him his first loss. I think that would be retribution for what he did to me last year.
Okay, thank you.
You know, there's a saying that you ain't as good as you once was, but you're as good as you'll ever be. And when you look at a guy like Kurt Angle, that's complete horse shit because he is at the top of his game. He is still the very best. He is the man. And how do I, EC3, prepare for a match with a guy like Kurt Angle? I mean, do I train my ass up? Yes. Do I study tape? Yes. Do I put myself in the situation as many times as I can mentally? Yes. But none of that's going to matter because until we actually play the game, until we're in the ring, we're not going to know what's going to happen. He's so, just the resume this man has is so incredible, so stout, and me being a newcomer, somebody who's always seen it from the outside, never really being able to experience it fully, the only thing I can say is that one thing that separates me from a lot of guys, maybe in this industry, maybe in this world, is that it's not over till I win. I do not accept defeat at any time, any juncture, any moment. it is not over until I win. And a bell to bell, July 1st, Destination America, 9 p.m., it will not be over until I win.
Okay, thank you both very much. That's brilliant, Chief. Also, Kurt, just as an aside, you're coming over to the UK for the London Film and Comic Con next month. Can you reveal any other TNA stars that might be coming with you?
I don't know of anybody else that's coming. I did book this outside of TNA, but I will be over there for a day to do some media for TNA for the UK tour in January. So I'm going to stay an extra day and then do some work for Impact Wrestling and promote the great tour we're going to have in January. But I do believe that Rey Mysterio will also be another wrestler that's going to be there, but I don't know of anybody else.
Okay, thank you. I'll hopefully catch you there. Thank you very much for your time.
Oh, you'll be there.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Lee with Sports Vibe.
Hello, both. Thank you for taking your time out to talk to us all. My question regards Bound for Glory, interestingly. I know we're only in June. But it's fair to say whoever walks out as champion on July 1st has a great chance to remain with the title until Bound for Glory in October. For both of you, if you were to make it to the biggest pay-per-view of the year as world champion, who would be the ideal opponent for you in the main event?
Oh, I'll go first. This is Kurt Angle. Looking at the roster, that's really tough. There are a lot of guys that deserve a world title shot. But what I wouldn't doubt is that regardless who wins on July 1st between EC3 and Kurt Angle, I wouldn't doubt the rematch would be at Bound for Glory. If I were booking the matches, I would want that. I think that is the two names that you want to come together at the biggest pay-per-view of the year. And, knowing that we're doing it on TV for free on July 1st, I believe the expectations that are going to occur with this match, they're going to want to put it on pay-per-view so fans pay for it. So, I think that the best chance of it being a rematch between Kurt Angle and EC3 at Bound for Glory, I believe that's probably the best bet for the most successful pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Kurt a lot. It's shocking. We're so different yet agree so much. But I agree with Kurt because if I am to win July 1st, I do plan on ducking Kurt Angle until at least Bound for Glory, so he does not cash in that rematch. That's my number one priority. But looking at the landscape, what's so interesting about Bell to Bell is that Kurt said it, this can go either way. He claims himself an underdog. I disagree. I think we're both kind of even keeled here, but I could become champion, or he could be the first one to cleanly defeat me. I mean, one of those will happen regardless down the middle. So it's very interesting where we go in the future from here. I would personally love to have that rematch at Bound for Glory, making the fans pay for it, because damn it, they're going to want to pay for it after they see what we do at Bell to Bell. But if it were to be Kurt Angle and I at Bound for Glory, I can see, you know, there's a hungry locker room. There's a bunch of young up-and-comers. I mean, you know, you'd be remiss not to mention a guy like a Drew Galloway coming on strong, or a Bram coming on, or perhaps somebody we don't even know yet making enough of an impact in Impact to warrant that spot. So if it wasn't Kurt Angle and I, and it wasn't any of those two, it could really be anything. But the money is on Kurt and I.
Thank you very much, both. Looking forward to a big match on July the 1st. All the best.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Bruce Antonius, Bristol Radio.
Hello, guys. How are you?
How are you, Bruce?
Good. Here the accent, the French accent. I have a tough question, maybe. Kurt, what's the best quality of EC3 for you?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
What's the best quality of EC3 for you?
What's EC3's best quality?
Yes.
I really believe that what we have seen in the past, 2 years from EC3 is how entertaining he is. He has a great character. It's one of those characters that it comes by every once in a blue moon. From his entrance music to his look to, his attitude in the ring. It's so catchy and people love it. And at the same time, they love to hate him and they hate to love him. It's one of those characters that I think every wrestler would love to have, but very few can have it. But what he's really done in the past half a year is shown his wrestling skills and shown what he's been able to do in the ring. So knowing what he can do on the microphone and what he can do as an entertainer, I really believe that he's going to prove in the next half a year that he can match that with his wrestling ability. I've seen his wrestling ability. I know what he can do. And, the fans, for the most part, haven't seen that yet. They haven't seen what he's really capable of in the ring. So what kind of quality does he have? He's one of the rare talents that has it all the way across the board. He's another John Cena. He is another Kurt Angle. He is what every wrestler aspires to be, and that's he has every strength in every category taken to the limit. He's what every wrestler aspires to be, and if you are watching and you're a young kid that wants to be a wrestler, he's the kind of guy that you want to study. You want to understand what he does, why he does it. Why he's so damn entertaining, why he's so athletic. And I know it has to do with a lot of practice. I think that EC3 obviously being a former amateur wrestler and knowing what goes into work ethic, what he had to do to build this character and what he had to do to prove his ability in the ring, I think that he's really worked hard at it. And from the first day I saw him, you can't help but take notice. And not only that, but he's actually gotten better and better and better since the first day. So he's one of the guys, when I'm sitting at home watching on TV, I can't wait till he comes up because I can't wait to see what he has to say. It's a really cool character. They've done a tremendous job. He's done a tremendous job with it. They handed him the ball and he ran with it. He's done a great job.
Good endorsement. And same question for EC3. What's the best quality of Kurt Angle for you?
Bonjour, mon ami. Je m'appelle.
Yes. Good French.
Yeah. Oui, oui. First off, I'd just like to say what Kurt said was très bien, a.k.a. very good. Thank you for that. And hearing that, what's Kurt Angle's best quality? I mean, I've discussed it time and time again in the ring, on this phone call. I mean, what he's accomplished in his career is transcendent. There's nobody better, and I have no problem saying that whatsoever. But I think for a guy like me, maybe a younger guy coming up, is what makes Kurt even better than that is his approachability, his guidance, the way he gives insight, his mind, his no qualms about helping somebody out, not fearing someone trying to take his spot, so to speak. He's the kind of guy who's here to help and groom and build people in his own image, guys he likes to see, I guess. He's loyal. I mean, hell, three I's, intensity, integrity, and intelligence. You put it all there, but his integrity is paramount because he's truly a company man. He's truly for the company. He wants to give back to the company, to the industry, this business as a whole. And he does that every damn time he steps in the ring, risking his body. He does that every damn time. So much so that, like, it becomes ad nauseum talking about how great he is. He's great.
His former UN, sir.
Yeah. His qualities are immeasurable. He is a paragon, a model of excellence, and somebody, you know, if half of what he said about me was true, then that means the entire world to me. So, you know. He's a sharp dude. There you go.
Yes, good. From a future wrestling legend to a wrestling legend. Thanks.
Go for it. Sure.
And your final question comes from the line of Chris Duke with SM108.
Hello, can you both hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, buddy.
Ah, fantastic. Now, on the subject of loyalty that you were just talking about a second ago, now, both of you have been 100% loyal to TNA since you both joined the company through the various ups and some of the very public downs of the company. Now, we've seen a lot of talent come and go in both your time there. So what I want to ask you both is, what is it you guys see in the company that others may not?
What does the UK see in the company?
No, what do you see in the company, you know, Kurt Angle and EC3? What do you see that other people may not?
You know, what I see in the company is, you know, let me give you the history of TNA since I started. You know, when I first started there, we were making some noise. You know, we were doing some great ratings. You know, the Kurt Angles and AJ Styles and Samoa Joes and Stings were really coming on strong. We were, you know, we were doing really good. Now, were we doing close to the WWE? No. No, we weren't even close. But we were making some serious noise. And it was a good feeling to see a smaller company like that do so well. And then we went into a little bit of a turmoil, and we took a hit financially, and, you know, we hired some people that maybe weren't best for business. And we dropped, and we had to regain a composure, and that's where we are right now. And seeing a company go up there and do really well and then drop real hard, you want to see it get back to where it was. And I think I speak for all the talent in the locker room. We want to see the TNA that we saw back in 2008, 2009. And I know that we can do it again. We have the right people in place now. But, you know, a smaller company like this, it's going to happen. You're going to have to take your hits. You're going to take chances with big names. You're going to take chances with people that you hire, that you believe in your mind and your heart and your soul that are going to carry the company to the promised land, and maybe they don't. But I think right now what we have is we've been humbled, and we know what we have to do to get back to where we were. And I know that everybody in TNA, you know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I know the attitude in the locker room has to be really bad right now. No, it's not. Everybody has a positive frame of mind. Everybody knows what we have to do to succeed, to get back to where we were. And we're going to do it because we believe it. And as long as we believe it, it's going to happen. We've got great talent. And we got great writers right now that are writing. We're learning. You know, we have a guy named John Gubrick, big. He's the head of creative, head of production, head of talent relations. Was he the best person for the job? Yes and no. He didn't have a lot of experience with talent relations, with creative, but he learned, and he learned fast, and he's humble enough to know when he makes mistakes, and he also knows what he needs to do to capitalize on the mistakes. We've done a lot this last year. And I've seen this company go into turmoil and pull out of it, and knowing where we're headed, that we're gonna just get bigger and better, and knowing that John Gubrick is leading the way. I love this guy. He's a lot of the reason why I stayed in TNA, and I love the direction we're going. I love what we're doing with the talent and the things that we've done in the past 6 months. So. It's been real promising. It's been really positive. And I'm really enjoying it. I really enjoy what's going on now. I look forward to watching TVs every week and seeing what we're doing. Are we still making some mistakes? Yes. But we're getting better, and that's all we can do. The better we get, the more success we're going to have. We're doing it little by little, and I'm happy with the product.
Yeah, that was a damn good soliloquy from a company man. And, you know, I haven't been here that long, so I don't have the history that Kurt does over here, you know, despite my aunt owning the company. But I also came over with slightly after John did, and why am I so loyal to TNA is because I am loyal to those that are loyal to me, and they've been nothing but good, right, honest, loyal, and just with me, which is kind of a far cry from what I've experienced in the past. Maybe things have changed elsewhere. It doesn't matter. But I think a lot of the negativity, it escapes me because I don't understand where it would be coming from or who harbors it so much, because you look at some of the great guys that have left TNA, and this is wrestling. We're all gears in the machine. We can all go different places and make a living elsewhere, and that's what's actually great about wrestling now is a bunch of people are making livings elsewhere, you know, outside of WWE and just TNA. A lot of people are making livings doing this, and people that have left, the good ones, the ones that have, you know, been true to the game, so to speak, don't say anything bad or negative about it. They just pursue other options, and as wrestlers, that's, you know, in their right, and we hope nothing but the success for all of our friends that have left, but we're here now, and this locker room is determined, it is loyal, it is driven, and it's ready to excel. We have all the pieces. It's just about putting them all together and making it work. As far as what I see, I mean, I haven't been in the game as long as Kurt, but I think he can attest to that too.
Yeah. Thank you very much. And Ethan, just before I go, after the last time we spoke, I have learned a valuable lesson in not to call him Brodus Clay anymore.
Yeah, his name's Tyrus, you know.
Yeah, I know that now. thanks very much, guys.
Thanks.